First of the Parnas, I want to thank the Parnas Hayom. Svia, Simeon, Aviva, Svia Schusra, who is Shlema, Chav Neshama, Bas Aviva Shoshana, and covered of the Tanav, Rabbi Meir Balanes, Al Film, Shalom, Simcha, Nachas, and Brachas, Rabbi Fu Shlema, Shibu Service Tavis. And also for the week, the Hershkovich family, Louis Nishmas, Moshe Ben Yudalei, and Shom Shavali, and the family of Simcha Nachas and Bracha. It should be a schus for Fuhr Shleima, for Brian Leia, Bas Yehudas Ariella, Fuhr Shleima, Sims Tavis. And for the Panis of the Year, Bracha Vatzloch, for Kiva Yosef Ben Natalia, and Eliana Zahab Bas Natalia, the Falhan family, Simcha Nachas and Bracha. Okay, let's learn. Perek Yutes. The perek is taking a long time because we have so much to be grateful for. Each one of us, and we have to learn the sugi of gratitude and to think about it, what it means. It's not just about thank you and I appreciate it. It's much, much deeper. So we're on page Reshu Zayin in the other edition. Last week we were talking about the avoda of Batsar Herchavtali. Batsar Herchavtali, that one of the most important avodas and something which is necessary when beginning his bodhus. I don't mean just beginning to do it, but each time a person has to try to be focused to see, even in the difficult situations that he or she is in this particular matzav that I'm in this tsar, to look for that opening, for that harchava, for that opening in the tzar. And to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that even though, for whatever reason it is, you have a cheshem that I should be going through this right now, but I thank you for opening up this place for me in this difficult situation, for giving me this harchava. We spoke about a few examples of that and some stories, one or two stories. The avodah of Batsar Herchavtu. And unless one is able to think this and to feel this and to express it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if you come right away to his bodhus with the negative feelings, with the hard feelings, with the tzara and so on, it's very, very hard to connect to Rachmei Hashem, to Hashem's love. It's very hard to draw down a Yeshua and to really make that connection. It has to begin with Shavach Vahidah, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even for those difficulties, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So look where it says, Gam al Yisum Baruchnius. So until now, last week we were talking about lo aleinu, a person that's going through difficulties in Gashmius, whatever, with children, with health, with Parnasa, whatever those sorrows are. But it's not only when a person is going through Yisurim or Tzaris in Kashmias. It's Gam al Yisurim Baruchnias. Gam al Yisurim Baruchnias. Even when a person is going through, not even, especially when a person is going through tremendous challenges in his Ruchnias or her Ruchnias, in Emuna. Instinctively, when a person's Emuna is waning and is weak, then the instincts is that, well, what am I going to daven about that? You know, that's my problem. I don't feel like davening. But it's such a mistake. It's a huge mistake. That's what real estate has such a thing that we have, you look like we have from the Rebbe Lamelech, tefillah, koidema tefillah, right? But we have tefillahs so that I should be able to daven. And that person who's struggling with ruchnias, with emuna, or other things in ruchnias, even though instinctively the feeling is, well, I'm in a bad situation. My ruchnius is very, very weak. So one of the symptoms of that is that I'm not into davening now. That's the biggest mistake in a person's life. It's davka the most important time in your life to daven. Davka to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to cry out to him. But if I really felt so close to him that I could daven to him, then I wouldn't be having a problem with my emunah. I'm having a problem with my emunah. That's why it's not easy for me to daven. It's not a shtuya. It's not, that's just shtuya. It's a klipa. It has nothing to do with religion. It's an Indian. There's a klipa, whatever. You're upset, you're hurt. There are things that are bothering you. 99% of the things that people have religion is not philosophical. It's not, it doesn't have to do with any theology. It's stuff. A lot of stuff in life. It's not about religion. It's just, so the Rishonim is always the one. Mothers and Hashem are the first ones to get blamed for everything. Mothers and Hashem. That's like, yeah. You know, it goes back and forth. Hashem, your mother, mother, Hashem. The ones who love you the most and who carry you every minute of your life and who take care of you, the mother, your mother and HaKadosh Baruch are the ones who get. So they're the ones that never, ever leave you, never stop thinking about you for a minute. But when you're having a problem, those are usually the ones that are first to be neglected, ignored, and pushed away, and so on. So it's a big mistake when a person thinks that I'm going through some religious crisis, and that means that I'm now in a non-davening zone. Like when you're standing in the airport, and they have, you know, this thing they made now the last few years, A, B, C, you know which thing you're in? I'm not talking about business classes. Some of you might go business classes. It's not like the regular chevre. So they have zone, you know, zone A. So they have like this line for non-daveners, you know. There's no such line like that for non-daveners. The biggest sorrow in a person's life is to be distant from Hashem. It's the biggest sorrow. You feel like your emunah is not strong. And how are you supposed to regain your emunah? You think that you're going to gain your emunah back by reading a philosophy book. Of course, to read Svarim HaKadoshim, to force yourself to work with the Svarim, to learn. Learning Torah is for sure very, very powerful. But, you know, it's not going to help because you say, to look outside and see the world is so beautiful, and only God can make such a beautiful world. That's not going to help you because, right, at that moment in life, you think the world is terrible. You're not interested in butterflies and stuff like that. So what does it make a difference to me? They're nice butterflies. My life stinks, so they're nice butterflies. Well, that doesn't help me. So the beauty of the world method of coming to Emunah doesn't usually work when you're going through one of these difficult situations. What works is to go like a child and to cry out Hashem. I don't know why is it that you're putting me through this? I don't know how much I can go on with this. I love you and I've tried to be good and you're making it so hard for me. And to talk straight and honest and to be real and to say, even in this matzah, I'm not going to let go of you. I still believe in you. I don't feel that belief right now strongly, but I know that it's there. And help me. That's more than any book in the world. So even in Ruchnius, a person is going through a tzara, going through Yisurim and Ruchnius. B'roshu b'yishana yesh lahodas al etzem hadavah. Now, one of the main reasons that a person's emunah starts to shut down is because of things that we do that are wrong. And all of us are bali chayv Hashem. We owe Hashem everything. And as you all know, it's a chazal have told us, and we know that by seichel we know also that when someone is good to you and you're not so good to the other person, that it's hard for you to look at the person in the eyes. It's hard to face the other person. So one of the main problems that people have when it comes to davening is that it's not because they don't have emunah, it's because they have so much emunah. When you talk to, if you talk to the chevra, like they're dragging around and they're not going to shul, they're not davening, those are people mostly that have tremendous emunah. Tremendous emunah. You talk to them, you see they have tremendous emunah. So if they have such big emunah, how come you're not going to shul? And then when you go to shul, you see half of the chevra there by some kiddush club, and they don't seem to be into things at all. So the ones with big emunah, they're out in the street walking around, they're not going to shul. The ones that are not so big in their emunah, they're in shul. So what's going on? It's a strange thing that's happening. This is a big generality, obviously. There are plenty of people in shul that are filled with fire with emunah, and there are people outside that are not strong. But if you talk to a lot of the chevra, I'm sure you have friends, you talk to a lot of the chevra that are not bringing themselves to shul, it's not because they don't believe in Hashem. We've spoken to this thousands of times. It's not because they believe in Hashem so strongly that they can't bear the fact that they've let him down. They feel miserable that they've done things that, according to what they were taught, and according to what they understand, and according to what whatever, they came to this conclusion that there's no way in the world that that Hashem would want to have anything to do with a person like myself. So mimela, they can't go to shul. Not because they don't believe. They believe so strongly that it hurts them to go to shul. It hurts them to be in a... That's why I've spoken about this so many times. That's why you see people that are already... so many of the people that are in shul, they're talking, they're doing other stuff, or they're hanging out by a kiddush club. Because it hurts them it hurts them to face Hashem. Because not because they don't believe in Hashem. There were Holocaust survivors that I knew that they were so hurt by what they went through. They felt so hurt that it wasn't that they didn't believe in Hashem, because they believed in Him so much they couldn't face Him after that. They didn't have to come to Him after that. They wanted to very badly, but they didn't know how to come to Him. That's for a different reason. That's something else. But one of the things is we're going to see that to be able to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thank Him for all that He's given us, to face Him and to say, honestly, these are the things that I've done wrong, and I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed, but I'm not running away from you. I'm not running away from you. And His boat of this is, remember that the ikur is that you showed up. We spoke about that a lot. I'm here. I'm not running away. I'm not running away. Only the past few years, when I was growing up, it was very uncommon. But you have the past few years that I've been hearing more and more, where you have, especially young married men that went to yeshivas, that they don't go to shul. They don't go to shul. It's kind of Shabbos, kind of, you know, I'm not saying maybe I know Shem Kippur, but stop. They don't even go on Shabbos. I have people that have told me, it's the first time they found some, they're going to some rav that they like, and he tells me it's the first time I've gone to shul on Shabbos, like in the last 7 years. And the guy has kids in yeshiva. And he puts on tefillin at home, and he's showing me mitzvahs, but he hasn't gone to shul. And I never heard that growing up. We didn't have, everybody went to shul. And that, some went later, some didn't go early, whatever. And they went to the talking, but it was, you know, you're on the program, you go to shul. It's part of being registered, is you go to shul. If you're a registered Orthodox Jew, you go to shul. There's a new union. And I don't see it because of a weakness of a woman. I see that many of them are much more genuine and much more sincere than we were growing up. But it's because they feel the pain of, they feel sincerely the pain of things in life that haven't gone the way that they expected them to go in their Yiddish guy. And they often feel that there would be a huge letdown to their Rebbeim if the Rebbeim would know these things. And Achas Kama V'Kama, they're a huge letdown in Hashem's eyes that they've let Him down. So they can't bring themselves to go to shul. Even though if you ask them, why don't you go to shul, that's not what they answer. They don't say, it's because my Averis hurt me so much. They would never say that. You know, maybe after an hour of talking, you can get to that place. But it's not, whatever. Looks like I'm having home, what are you hacking? I wasn't shul, and I don't need to go, and I don't feel connected there. The people are not my type, or whatever it is. But that's not it. Most of the time, it's because of this pain, this emptiness. So it says, Barosh Bishon Yeshla Hodasal Etzam Adav Shachet Shekeshachot Adav Koivlo. So the first thing, what's this person in pain over his mistakes? What's he or she supposed to talk to Hashem about when you come to his boat of this? I want to thank you, Baruch Shalom, that this hurts me. I want to thank you that I'm in pain over my mistakes. I'm not paralyzed. God forbid, like the Gemara says, that mace, that a person, lo aleinu, who is dead, doesn't feel the knife. It doesn't hurt. But if I'm alive, it hurts. So the first thing to thank Hashem for is, Baruch Shalom, I want to tell you something. I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for this and for that, whatever, all the nice things. And al kulon, I want to thank you. Because the things that I've done wrong in my life hurt me. They hurt me. And I'm here to talk to you about them because I still feel that pain. It hasn't gone away. And I know that's why I've been hiding from you. And I'm here to report back. I'm here to report that I don't want to run away from you anymore. I've done things that are wrong. I might still do them tomorrow. I might continue in this way. I don't know how to get out right now, but I want to thank you that it still bothers me. It still bothers me. Sometimes you'll, you know, when you have a couple, at least they're still fighting and arguing. It's good, you know. they're still fighting because it upsets them. They want it to be good, so they're arguing. But then you have a couple, they're sitting for 40 years, each one's reading newspaper or something, they're talking on the phone, they don't even talk to each other, and it doesn't bother them at all. Nothing is missing in life because they don't expect anything in life from each other. They give up on each other. So there's no, they don't feel the pain anymore because it's already covered by many years of running away. So it just gets covered up. But if it still hurts you, then you cry, you argue, you fight, you talk. It still hurts you. So that's what he's saying over here. I want to thank you, Hashem, that this still hurts me. That this distance from you that I've been feeling, it bothers me. That I don't feel the emunah strong inside of me, that bothers me. I'm not happy about this matzah. I'm not happy about it. I'm not going to blame everybody in the world. This one did this, this, and this, because the Rebbe said that, or my mother said that. It bothers me that I'm far from you. And I don't know how to get, I don't know how to get over that. I don't know how to come back to you, but I'm not at peace in this matzav that I'm in. I'm not at peace. I'm not going to tell you the story because it's a half hour story. So I'll tell you, mine was like 30 seconds, but I told in shul, I don't remember, a few years ago, there was a ma'isa that I saw, it's a Mordechai ma'isa about after the milchama, after the war, and there was an old survivor that wasn't keeping things, old survivor. And there was a certain Talmud Chacham that was in the station, the train station. This old chassid was moving to Eretz Yisrael. He was getting out of Europe. And the young Talmud Chacham was also going to Eretz Yisrael. And the old man's daughter, thank God they both survived, the old man's daughter took her father to the station and saw there was a frum person there. I went over to the young guy and said, please do me a favor, watch over my father, okay? Just keep an eye on him. He's by himself. Can you keep an eye on him? So this young Talmud Chacham said, of course. And he describes the train. So he sat in the same thing, the compartment, you know, the train. The whole time he was sitting with him. And I think they had to get off. They got off at different places at some point, much further along. But they were traveling together. And the young Talmud Chacham was trying to start up a conversation with the old former chassid. Just trying to start up a conversation. And the old guy, you know, wasn't particularly in the mood to make conversation. And it's a whole trying back and trying to get to talk and be friendly. And then it came time already, it was time to daven and mincha. And the old man is not interested. Comes time for Marv, the old man is not interested. And the young Talmud Chacham sort of said something to him a little bit along the lines of, oh, yeah, together, whatever. And he just said, you do whatever you like. I don't remember the whole story, but what happened was is that he was helping him with his, the old man with the suitcase to get down. And I think the suitcase opened. He was getting the suitcase down. And right before it was the end, and the old man had been telling him the whole time how he doesn't keep anything, he doesn't believe anything, doesn't do anything anymore. He came from a big Chassidish family, he's finished with everything. Eventually he was talking about how nothing anymore. And then the fellow was bringing, he told him, give me my suitcase. He brought down the suitcase and he gave him the suitcase. It was towards the end where they were getting off. And the old man opens up the suitcase and he takes out his talisman. It was a talisman, he starts to, he puts on his talisman film. And the way that the young Talmud Chacham described it is very moving. He said, until I got him to talk, and then to talk about religion, and then all he had to say was, I had it with it, I have nothing to do with him anymore, I left it all behind me, I have no Rebbe, I have no, nothing, I'm done, I'm finished with it. And then he gave him my suitcase, I need my talisman. And I met so many Jews like that when I was growing up. that they were yelling and screaming and angry. And then at the end, they put on the Daas and Tefillin. And don't you never, you're not allowed to ask them to explain why you're doing that. You're going to say, I caught you. It's a stira. You know, like, see, it's a stira. It wasn't a stira. These are people who were lovesick with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and were so unbelievably disappointed and broken and confused about what they went through. They were desperate to connect him, but they just felt the pain. It was too much to come back. But they couldn't give him up. So they lived in these contradictions for years and years and years. I saw people like this. They were eating lobster and shrimp. And they went home, put on tefillin. Well, you see them by Yom Kippur, crying like babies. Like, you know, comes once a year to shul, crying. So you ask Kash, you're such a big davener. Like, so why don't you try it out the rest of the year? Once every now and then, go to shul. It's not a kash. People are in pain. In a lot of pain. Everybody has his own inyan. And the first thing to do is to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about this pain. About the pain of how it's been hard for me to live without you. And I don't want to live without you, but I'm embarrassed to face you in the case of somebody with his aveiros. Or I can't face you because I'm so angry about what happened with my family in the case of this old man on the train. It's hard for me to face you, but I can't let go of you. But the fact that a person comes to his baidus and begins with this, with thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even for the pain that I'm feeling, I'm thanking you that I'm still alive and that I still care about it. I still care about my Yiddishkeit. That's the first thing. He doesn't just make believe that everything is fine and there's no aveir, there's not an aveir. I didn't do any aveirs. He doesn't make believe. No, he comes and says, I have takedan, things that are wrong. But I'm not running away from. I want to thank you that I still have a conscience. I still am able to be in touch with my the nefesh elokis. I'm still in touch with elokus inside of it. Because there are other people that I know that they've lost contact with elokus. I haven't lost contact. It's not letting me sleep. It's making me sick. It's making me angry. But I haven't lost contact with you. The words of Rabbi Nachman and Kufim Amalev, Im yizke sheyargish ke'ev chatar, that a person has to be zoiche to feel the pain of his aveiros. It's a schus. Because a lot of people don't feel any pain over their mistakes at all. You could have that also with the same thing as in relationships that we have with each other, with friends, with somebody in the family. That you have to be zoiche that it should bother you. That something is wrong. That it's a schus. Im yizke sheyargish ke'ev chatar. That if you spoke in a way that wasn't nice to your wife or to your husband or to a kid or to a friend, you have to be zeich that you should feel that it was wrong. Because a lot of people, they just cover it up. It's a schus to be able to feel that you made a mistake. It's a big schus. Many people, they don't feel they made any mistakes. Everything is shalom yilik b'shuus nibli eilech. Shalom yili. They don't want to feel anything bad. We're living in a time where there's no such thing as aveiros anymore. If there's any aveir that you happen to be doing, you just find a few other people to do that aveir. You start a thing on the internet, and then a few weeks later you can already have a newsletter and you can make a parade. Laman that aveir. There's no any, because if anybody talks to you about feeling bad, about feeling guilty, about that you did something that's wrong. That's very, very dangerous talk nowadays. You're not allowed to think like that. You can't feel like that. Everything is good. I never made any mistakes in my life. Everything is fine. Other people made a lot of mistakes. But I never made any mistakes in my life. So the beginning of his bodhis is to be able to thank Hashem. I want to thank you that I'm zeichet to recognize my mistakes. I'm zeichet to feel the pain of the things that I've done wrong in my life. It's a big schus. And to talk about those things. That's what it means. Rabbi Nachman says, "Im yizke sheyargish ke'ev chatar," to be zeiche to feel that pain. Ki lahargish es ha-ke'ev. So he explains, "Ki lahargish es ha-ke'ev alachei to schus b'fnei asma shloke alach ha-zeichel." Everybody has the schus to feel that. There are people who just run away, and they don't think of anything that they ever did wrong. Never. It's the, when you're married to somebody like that, that's the biggest Gehenna. When you have one that is humble and honest, and the other one that's like, you know, nothing, I didn't do anything wrong, you're in such a marriage, it's Gehenna. Personally, if you're married to somebody that's humble and is able to say, Hatasya Visi Peshati, and I'm sorry. And it's a schus that a person should feel. Commission Kosser of Nosson, the Mechtov, Shumachai Atsum Bezer, shall Kaponim, Koyvlo Ha Oily Miyitsu. He has such a line from Ibnasan. He wrote in his letters that he's Mechai himself. He gives him a chias that it hurts him, Oily Miyitsu, that his Yetzahara, that he has problems with his Yetzahara. It's Mechai him that he still has problems. I mean, it's it bothers me that I sinned against the one who created me, that I have a Yetzahara and that I'm sinning against the one. It's me, Yoitzi, that I'm sinning against him. And Rabbi Nosson was Mechai himself with that feeling. Isn't that a contradiction? No. He's Mechai himself that I care about it. Not that he's happy that he does these things, that he listens to his Yetzahara or whatever Rabbi Nosson's Yetzahara was. I don't know. Not to say one word of the bracha achrayinu with proper kavanah. I don't know what his yetzar was, but it's not a contradiction. He's mechai himself. Ah, the bo Hashem mechlap nach. I'm alive, and it bothers me that I'm fighting with my yetzar, and it bothers me. Sarach lahaydes gam al zesh hazoch ladas is a derech lo shuv Hashem. And then, of course, to thank Hashem that you gave us a way, derech tshuva hireisa, that you gave us a way to come back to you. Let's have in the world, no matter what mistake a person has made in his life, and you could have many people in your life that don't forgive you for things that you've done, but the Kadosh Baruch has no union like that. There's nothing like that by Hashem, no matter what a person did. God forbid, even if you killed somebody, chas v'chalil, derech tshuva hireisa. You might not be able to fix it with other people, but with Hashem is baruch, derech tshuva hireisa. No such thing with Hashem's Bach. Derech Tshuva Eres. And he shows us how to come back to him. And he's begging us to come back to him. And he sent the tzaddikim to write all kinds of svarim and all kinds of ischaskas that we should come back to him. So he always wants us to come back to him. So to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you created such a thing that's called Tshuva. There are people that don't forgive us for things that we've done wrong. And no matter what you try, they won't forgive you. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like that. And it's not hard. He is not hard on us to do tshuva. To be grateful for that. I says, Zoch HaLadas, is a derech lo shuv Hashem. Shayidei sheyodun v'yishpot es kol inyon of noichar p'nei Hashem. And the beginning of tshuva is to judge yourself. Judging yourself means, don't wait till Hashem judges you at 120. Judge yourself. To be a judge of yourself. To be an honest judge of yourself, and to be honest and to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about things that you've done wrong. Don't wait to be judged and to say, oh, I forgot about that. I didn't realize that. I didn't know that. Judge yourself. Judge yourself. So by his brothers, it's a time we're going to have a separate paragraph just on that. On mishpat, on lishpat es atzmecha, to judge yourself. All of our lives we're judging other people. When it comes to ourselves, then we're not so judgmental. So the beginning of tshuva is to judge yourself. To judge yourself. Yesh lahodes Hashem Baruch al shezicha oisanu oisai lehiruei tshuva v'charata tethekar Hashem Baruch Hu. I still hear a voice coming from Hasina that says, to come back to him, and to feel El Banish Torah, how I embarrass the Torah. I've done things against Hashem. I've done things against the Torah. I'm not bias my Banish Torah. To hear that Baskel from Pesach, I still have a Hira Tshuva. That I still care. It still bothers me when I do an Avayu. And I want to come back. I think about coming back. I want to do Tshuva. Shezicha Oysel is Karev Letzadik. And to thank Hashem, wow, what a schus I have that you're mezakeh me that I'm close to a tzaddik, if it's a tzaddik that's alive, or if I'm close to the tzaddik tzaddikim who have died, and I learned their svarim, and because I learned their svarim, I know this living tzaddik, and when I go to talk to this tzaddik, or I hear this tzaddik, it's ma'ir me to feel that I want to be better. Or I learned this sefer of a tzaddik that died a long time ago. When I learned this sefer, I have yirui tshuva, and thank you that I'm alive and I'm able to be revived by this sefer. Or if I go to hear a drasha or a shir, and I'm not sitting there rolling my eyes or doing my nails, that the shir, it makes me think about, I have yirui tshuva about changing. That I was zoich to hear a shir that there was a guy that came with two of his friends a couple of years back in yeshiva, and they were asking on behalf of their friends this request. They wanted him to give a shir just for that chaver, and he said to me, we wanted to be, you know, to be more machshavidik. So I saw where this was going, more machshavidik. You know, like more philosophical, because, you know, we heard things like that, and we like more that you've done it more along. So I said, more machshavadik, you want to, what size are you looking for? Small, medium, large, really more machshavadik, you know. So basically what he said to me is, we're not looking for a shia that's going to make us feel anything. Don't try any inspiration or chizuk with us. We just want machshava. We just want machshava, and we appreciate like a good shir and machshava. Something interesting, not to make an interesting shir and machshava. But no hirui tshuva, please, for us. He didn't say that, but I said to him, I said, I see you're looking for something where there's no possibility that you'll feel like doing tshuva. Is that? He said, I never said that. I said, well, no, just trying to understand what you're saying. Sounds like you're saying that we talk to you on something that could remain completely here and not have any chance of getting there. So I told him, I don't give shiurim like that anymore. I did when I was younger. I stopped doing it. I'm not in that business anymore. And he also only wanted it for his chevah. No outside chevah. He said, oh, I don't like the way this whole thing smells, no good to me. The whole thing. No hirhuri tshuva, no tshuva, and no outsiders. Very, very particular, custom made. No. The whole tachlis of our learning is hara is tshuva masam taifim. Tshuva means to have hirhuri tshuva, masam taifim means to invite other people. She says, the whole tachlis, chazal say, tachlis taifim is tshuva masam taifim. So he says he wants Torah without Shuvah and without Masam Tovah. What kind of Torah is that without Shuvah and without Masam Tovah? What kind of Torah is that the person learns Torah without Shuvah and without Masam Tovah? It's the tachlis of learning. But to be smart. For that, the Baruch Shem had to come down to high Sinai that we should be smart. But Shuvah and Masam Tovah is the tachlis. The tachlis. That doesn't mean you can't also be a Shia has interesting things in Machshava, of course. The Torah is filled with beautiful things, but the tachlis is true of Masam Torah. The tachlis is to be Eilech Yidin, to be God fearing Jews, to have a connection to Hashem's Torah, not because it sounds interesting or something that's fancy. The tachlis is true of Masam Torah. So we have to be grateful to Hashem that you send a person to my life, either a living tzaddik or a tzaddik that's in Olam Haba, that I'm learning the Svarim. And if you were listening, you could listen now to recordings of tzaddikim that are no longer alive. I always think, imagine if we had a tape of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. Just like Shel HaShudas with the Baal Shem Tov. Imagine a tape of the Baal Shem Tov. They're not zoichet such a thing. A tape of what was it like to be by the Noam HaMelech, Shel HaShudas of Kedusha Slavi, to have a tape of Kedusha Slavi. And you know what, even the... We wouldn't be on a madrega to even appreciate it. Even if we would hear such thing, we wouldn't know. Like when somebody came to the Baal Shem Tov, that the Baal Shem Tov heard that there was a person who was writing down his tires. And he came to the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, and the Baal Shem Tov said, I want to see him. Tell him to bring his bichel, his book. So, because the Baal Shem Tov didn't write, you know. So he brought down, so this person came, and he brought the Baal Shem Tov and the pages. And the Baal Shem Tov was looking at the pages, and he said, there's not one thing here that I said, nothing. Not one thing that I said. Might be interesting stuff. It's not one thing that I've said. What does that story mean? The guy's crazy. He didn't take notes. He's probably a genius. He took very good notes. What does that story mean? The Moshantra said, it's not one thing that I said. What does that story mean? No? It's a hard story. The guy's not crazy. The Moshantra saw that he didn't get it. You got the words. You're a smart guy, because you got the words, but you didn't get it. Now, how did the Baal Shem Tov know that he didn't get it? Baal Shem Tov saying, how did the Baal Shem Tov know such a thing, that he didn't get it? You didn't get it. Like the story that I've told many times over the years about the Beis Yankiv from Izhevitz, that you remember how he would kiss the Gemara. You remember the Maisa? He would give a shir. There was a yid that was by the Izhevitz. And many, many, many years in service went by in this person's life. And somebody was asking, what does he remember from the youth of the Beis Yaakov? What was by the Beis Yaakov? So he said that, I'm sure you remember the story, that every night during the week at 12 o'clock, exactly 12 o'clock, the Ishbisuva came in, and there was a special shir, only by invitation, certain that were holding by this Gemara. It was a Gemara shir for the top guys. And he gave a shir in Gemara from 12 o'clock to 4 o'clock in the morning. Every night of the week, 12 to 4. And I was part of that shiur, this guy was saying. I was part of that shiur. Because he hasn't learned in many, many years. But I was part of that shiur from the Beis Yaakov. And the person said to him, what did you learn? What do you remember? He said, I'll tell you the truth. So many years have gone by and so much sorrows. I don't remember. But I'll tell you what I do remember. There's one thing that I remember. Is that he walked in, the Rebbe would walk in at 12 o'clock exactly, and he had, there was a Gabbai that was carrying a candle, and the other one that was carrying the Gemara, and the Rebbe walked in, and the candle and was put down in the thing, and the Gemara, and the Rebbe would give the shir, and then after the shir, when the Rebbe was done, he would take the Gemara, and he kissed the Gemara. He says, that kiss of the Gemara never left me. Never left me. I held on to that all the years, that kiss. But the Baal Shem Tov didn't see in the notes was the kiss. You understand? He didn't see the kiss. He only saw the words. He only saw the words. I mentioned last week before Shavuos that, I don't know if here or whatever, but that, you know, it says in the Gemara, that the nations of the world came to, they also wanted the Torah, right? Gemara says in Shabbos. So you remember the angel came from whatever, from Yishmael, from Esau, they came. You remember what was the question? When they wanted the Torah. So Yishmael comes and wants the Torah. But you remember? What was the question? What Maksiv Bei? What's written in it? And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, it says over here, Lo Signov. So whenever I heard that, from my time that I was a kid, I always felt it was so unfair. Like, why not tell them something they could do? So these people are going to have them. So, you know, and if a Jew, and we didn't ask, we just said, that's an issue. But what if we would have asked Hashem, said, you know, you can't have an old cash business in your basement or something. But it was, I can't do that. You have to pay taxes. So Hashem did. Hashem said to us, you're going to have Cholent and Kugel and Shabbos. What else? Yeah, sing Baruch Kalali, sing some Zemiras. What else? Sukkot, you sit in a nice thing with your family, Shpizen, come to visit. So, the difference is like this. We didn't ask what's written. That's the point. And that's everything that came here. We didn't say what's written in. Because all the guy wants to know is what's written in. You understand? He just wants a kiss. He doesn't want the kiss. He just wants what's written over there. And they're not only going like that. There were Jews like that also. All they care about is what's written, but not about the kiss. The Beis Yaakov's kiss, he said, I remember that all the years. That's what keeps me. The kiss, the way he kissed the Gemara. There was something about how he kissed the Gemara. You know, how it was, that kiss. That's, you know, those are the things that you remember. You could forget Maksiv Bei. Hashem didn't like that they asked right away, what's written? In other words, all he wants to know is like maksive, like what's the material? What's the curriculum? What's the chomer? What are we going to be studying this year? What's the regents, you know? What's going to be the Talmud regents this year? But we didn't have a question like that, maksiv. They said, whatever it is, here we're here. Hineini, nasiv nishma, I'm yours. That's to be able to ask the Shem Tov HaKadosh said, there's not one thing here that I said. Not one thing that I said. Of course he wrote notes and he understood. And the Baal Shem Tov said those words, but the Baal Shem Tov says that's not one thing that I really said. You didn't get. It could be because he saw in a Knesh, the Baal Shem Tov saw this Ruach HaKadosh, whatever, Chachmas, you know, he saw Chachmas. He saw Chachmas, he didn't see what he was giving over. I didn't see what he was giving over. I saw there was a that I mentioned this. I don't know if I ever mentioned this. You remember there was a maisa that there was a certain hush of a person, Talmud Chacham, that he used to say Tikkun Chatzos. I don't know if I told this maisa. He used to say Tikkun Chatzos, which is a chashuv thing. And he was feeling bad because he had missed some times, he forgot, whatever, he overslept, he didn't work out. So he came to the tzaddik, the sulam, the bala sulam, the Rav Ashlag, biggest makubal in the world, came to the sulam. And to ask him, like, you know, why is this happening to me? It was Tikkun Chatzos, you know. So the Sulam told him the following thing. I have to think about this exactly what it means, but listen. The Sulam told him, I heard that you're always giving talks about Tikkun Chatzos. I heard that you're always talking and giving shiurim about the importance of Tikkun Chatzos. So he said, yes, that's why it bothers me that I myself. So the Sulam told him, the fact that you always, if it would really be the Nakudas Halev, the essence of who you are, you wouldn't be able to talk about it so much. So he said, the fact that you're always talking about it, at least Shiurim, it's a simon that it's not the Nekudas HaLev. Nekudas HaLev, a person can't always talk about it. Right? You see, like married couples now, they must tell them in the Chasen Kala class that every half hour you have to tell your husband, I love you. And when he leaves for work in the morning, I love you. Comes home, I love you. And he has to tell her, I love you. You have to call up. You have to send text messages at least 5 times a day. I love you. I love you. I never saw my parents talk that way. But their love is the deepest thing I ever saw. I never heard them say such dibur. Maybe they said in Hungarian. I didn't understand. But I don't think there was such dibur like that going on. It wasn't dibur. I don't think it was dibur. If you talk about it so much, it's usually a simon that you're not holding by it so much. That's what the sulam said to this person. It doesn't mean, I know it's a klal in everything, but he was telling this person that something that lies at the essence of your existence, of who you are, doesn't come out so easy like that. You know, it's something which is, and you have a lot of times misunderstandings between couples where the guy's trying to say to his wife, I really do, or the therapist was like, no, I really do love her. And she says, we don't say this, you don't say that. How come I tell you? It's not Dafka, right? Love Dafka. Could be that he loves her more than she loves him. You know, you can't even measure these things. But it could be that he loves her more. Could be that he's in the Kudus alive and there's something that's hard for him to talk about. He can't express. There are people that are like that. There are people that are like that. It could be that for her, she could be also one of the texters, the WhatsAppers, I love you. She has you ready with a heart. You know, you have the heart. You press a button and it comes out of the heart and the heart moves. You ever see that? It moves. It goes like it's pounding. So she's able to send her husband a little thing with a kiss and a picture of a heart that's moving. It's pounding. The heart is pounding. And he just looks at this. He's like, what am I going to do with this? I'm in such trouble. I don't know. Send back. What am I going to send it back? Like, I can't send it back. A dead heart. I sent the two hearts that are moving. What am I going to send back to her? And if I do, she's not going to believe me. You know, you don't really feel this. And if you really felt it, how come you didn't send me the pounding heart? I first sent you the heart that was pounding. You know how many, this people crazy with these things. I'm making jokes, but you know, it's not so funny. I'm just using it in a very silly lashon, but it's, and these kind of dibur, not davka. There were tzaddikim, they couldn't talk at all. But Mendel of work, you know, 40 years, 8 times he said Torah in 40 years. I do more of that on a Shabbos. Lahavdul. So therefore what? So I'm mashpia Torah? In his silence, what he gave over in his silence, in a kudas alev. When they looked at him, the hurei tshuva came, when he walked into the room, they were crying. And I saw that, I told you because I saw myself by the Sabra Gishkosiva when I was a kid growing up. When he walked into the Bessah Medrash, everybody started howling. And I don't know what happened. When he just walked in, everybody was crying. You didn't have to give any drasha. But the drasha was dafka, it would cool things off a little bit. But just when he walked in and he looked around, such an Indian. Because what he couldn't say was the kiss, you understand? And that's much deeper than the words. The guy they wanted was written. What does it say? What does it say? Can you imagine? Okay, somebody walks over and says, Rabbi Tadaman, you have a good speech for today prepared? Can you imagine that? And even when he would speak, you know what it was? He would sit down by Shul Shittas and there were guests, and we asked the different guests, what's a medrash that you learned on the parasha? And each one would say medrash, and then the Rebbe would talk for the next hour or two, putting together all the medrashim to some tire. He didn't prepare his speech. Like I meet sometimes rabbis during the summer. I mean, I try to avoid them, but sometimes I meet rabbis in the summer. And I always get this question. So Rabbi Weinberger, like fellow rabbi, have you started working on your Rosh Hashanah drasha or your Shabbat Shuvah drasha? I say, no, I'm just trying to go boating with my granddaughter or something like that. I don't know. Get something to eat. I'm not working on my Shabbat Shuvah drasha yet. I'm just Pashas, you know, Pinchas or something. I'm not Shabbat Shuvah. So I'm not, you know, making, what I'm making fun of is this Indian. I'll tell you the truth, because when it comes to Shabbat Shuvah, I don't know until 2 days before, 3 days before, what's going on. Where am I holding? Where are they holding? What's going on? How are you supposed to prepare such a thing? So even though I can make myself crazy to think what I have to talk about, I don't know. But it's never that. Because there's Nakuda Behechali, and it's the end that a Jew has. There's Nakuda Salev. And Nakuda Salev. And Nakuda Salev is not Maksiv. How do you prepare for Nihila when it's Erev Tisha B'Av? How do you prepare for that? There's Nakuda Behechali. There's a point in the heart that's something else. And it's not just a matter of what's written, Maxim. And the ikur of his bodhus is to be able to talk from a place that's nekudas halev, that nekudah of the heart. That's why it's not, we spoke about it a few weeks ago, to prepare. Of course, there are things you want to remember to talk about, because you might not remember, of course. But to begin in such a way, the nekudas halev. So he says that you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is Baruch Hu. Shazikai Sol Hiroi Tshuva Harata. Shazikai Sol Iskar L'Tzadik. Shigilu Ki Hashem is Baruch Hu Reitzabai. That to have the schus that you learn a sefer, and the sefer teaches you that Hashem loves you. But to be by a living tzadik, and that tzadik is telling you that Hashem is Baruch Hu loves you. And what is schus? Because there are a million people in the world that never met that tzadik, or they never saw the sefer, and they never heard how much Hashem loves me, them. How much Hashem loves a person. They never heard that. How many of our kids never ever heard a shir in the shir that the teacher said to them, Hashem loves you no matter what you've ever done, and Hashem will never ever let go of you. I never heard that growing up from a teacher, ever. Maybe now they do. I never heard that growing up from the rabbi, from the teacher. It was only later on, there was a rabbi that we had, it was later, this particular rabbi spoke this such dibur. He was a Stalinist. I remember he spoke this in such a way, never heard it before, such things that he said. Never heard it. It was usually just put your finger on the place. Or if Hashem does love you, it's a machloek is being the Rambam and the Ramban. What does that mean to love you? By the time you're done, you don't feel like it anyway. You know what I mean? Like if you know, your wife asks you, do you care for me? She says, it's a machloek is the Rambam and the Ravid. You're ready to lose your cheshik, you understand? It's machloikis. So, shafapi sheayetzahar meisus mafatay say or mapalay say who are dying lo isyayish, who are dying chazak b'daitu return loshul Hashem. That because of this sefer that I'm zoichet to have, or because of this tzaddik that I'm zoichet to hear or to know or whatever it is in my life, that I still am able to care about you. It still inspires me that I want to do tshuva. I want to thank you, Hashem, that you brought this sefer my way. I want to thank you that you introduced me to this person in my life that is able to help me to want to do tshuva. These are things that a person can talk about, and it doesn't contradict the fact that he's feeling embarrassed or ashamed. Fakir, the fact that he's feeling embarrassed or ashamed is a pesach for him to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to be in his burdens. HaKadosh Hashem, to be continued.